Hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast, a series of healthy conversations with inspiring hustlers. I'm your happy host, Madeline Carafa, self-proclaimed health enthusiast and full-time hustler. Through storytelling, I combined health, well-being and business with a fresh perspective to share the stories of some of the most influential and inspiring hustlers. Whether you're looking for an engaging and easy-to-digest pep talk or a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and wellness goals, the Healthy Hustlers podcast is your go-to for kicking butt in work and play. Hello, hustlers, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so thrilled to be joined by my good friend, model and presenter, Tegan Martin, who is joining me as co-host as we talk to one of the most delightful souls. Tegan actually joined me for the interview with Lorna Jane, but we were so busy trying to get the episode live that I completely forgot to officially introduce her. So I am sorry, but that's a friendly voice you hear alongside me in Lorna's episode, if you were wondering. Tegan was also one of our earlier guests on the show. So if you're looking for some more healthy inspiration after this episode, please make sure you check out her episode. Now let's get started with today's healthy conversation. With a law degree under her belt and a booming social media following, Georgie Stevenson is proof that success requires heart and hustle. Raised in sunny Brisbane, Queensland, Georgie is a true representation of her happy, fun-loving upbringing. Welcoming us into her beautiful home, I was instantly captivated by Georgie's kind nature and warm smile. Behind the blonde hair and gorgeous smile lies a super savvy and extremely successful businesswoman who has hustled hard to build the life she wants. From simply sharing her health journey while in a corporate law job, Georgie has built a health and well-being empire that inspires women daily to live their happiest, healthiest lives. Georgie is absolutely beautiful inside and out and exactly what I imagined she would be like. It just felt like we were having an awesome conversation with such a good friend. I really hope you guys enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed creating it for you. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is brought to you naturally by Bondi Boost. Georgie, hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. Thank you so much for having us in your beautiful Brisbane home today. We are so excited to be joined by you. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming to my house.
Very excited to be here. Now, we love starting the conversation by finding out something that most people might not necessarily know about you. And I know this might be a hard one because you are very heavy on social media, Instagram and YouTube, but is there any little gold you have for us?
Okay. Well, I think I have said this on my Instagram, but probably the weirdest thing about me is I love powdered milk. I don't know why, guys. So like my parents are really big into sailing and every year they sail to like New Caledonia or Fiji and that sort of thing. So a couple of years ago, they sailed to New Caledonia and me and my husband flew over there to meet them. And because they couldn't have fresh food on the boat because they've just sailed that whole way, they had powdered milk. And it was the first time I tried it. And I was like obsessed. I was having it after every single meal. And then like literally now it's something I buy as a treat.
Whoa, where does powdered milk come from? Is this like from a cow or the ground? Or?
Of course it's from, so it's just like normal milk, but it's like
dried.
And I don't know, guys, it tastes so much better.
It sounds so manky. Milk, I've got no judgment. I'm going to try it.
It's really good. So that's pretty weird. Lots of people, I say that and they think I'm really gross.
They're like, what else do you eat?
I literally will sneak it too. I'm like, Tim's like, what are you eating?
That is so random and funny. I find the powdered eggs that my friend eats absolutely disgusting.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, I don't know about that. So
it's a bit
I agree
far,
with that.
Isn't it? Mm. We'll stick to the powdered milk.
Sorry, not a milk person. So I do not think I
you're just like looking
possibly.
At me, just like, this is gross.
I know. And so we would love to know what is one healthy habit you are currently committed to that is helping keep your hustle healthy, Georgie.
Okay. So my like holy grail healthy habit and something that I've just realized I need to be doing. Otherwise, I don't function. And that is just making sure that I'm going to bed early enough and also waking up early. So really getting a good sleep schedule and making sure I'm going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time. Honestly, if I don't get enough sleep, I'm like, no, I don't function. Yeah. And I've just noticed if I wake up early and I'm able to wake up early feeling good because I went to bed early the night before, it just changes my whole morning and usually my day. And so it's just like a non-negotiable now.
Yeah.
So it's probably like my holy grail healthy habit.
It's such a simple thing that we overlook. Yeah. Do you have any like rituals that you use to turn your mind off after a crazy day of success?
So I'm that person who I struggle to get to sleep because I just have so much going on.
Yeah, I'm waiting. And I really want this advice. Hit me.
This is selfish.
Yeah, this is for me.
So I have a bit of a nighttime routine. So I try and like dim all the lights, you know, the whole blue blocking. Mm-hmm. I have blue blocking glasses. Look.
Cute.
So I try to wear them if me and Tim are watching TV. We dim the lights. We just make it that sort of environment. Sometimes we put the candles on. And then also I have a nighttime tea. So it's just like
sleepy tea.
Yeah, just like a sleepy tea. I can't remember the brand. I actually listen to, do you guys know the app Headspace?
Yes.
Yeah, so they have this thing on there called Sleepcast.
Ooh, okay.
And so you put it on and it's literally someone just telling you a story. Amazing. And it's so random that you stop thinking about all the other things, your mind switches off and you fall to sleep.
Amazing.
And it works every time.
Because I've tried listening to hypnosis, which a few of my friends have said is amazing to put yourself into like a REM sleep.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works and I'm like, holy crap, I wake up feeling so refreshed. So good. And sometimes I just can't get into it. Yeah. I'm like, no, my head's racing too much. So maybe the story would be good for those times.
Yeah, I find it's quite also relaxing.
Yeah.
And I just like, it really just, you know, yeah, puts the mind at ease and I just get a really nice sleep. So, yeah.
So what is it called on Headspace?
So Headspace, and then you'll go, there's a sleep section and it's called Sleepcast.
And it's like the most, to try it.
It's the most random stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes I love that. I love it.
I use like a meditation app every night, but some nights like you're just so wired and your mind is racing so much that I'm like, the 8 minutes is nearly up and I'm like, oh, what have they even said? I'm I don't even realize that it's on.
Yeah. Mm. So these sleep casts go for like 40 minutes. So sometimes I'm asleep within 5 minutes, but sometimes it will literally take me half an hour, but I need it.
Yes. You're like, what's happening to the teddy bear? Yeah, like I need to know before I go to sleep.
Last night I listened to one and it was about like cats at a marina.
Oh, it really is that random. I was joking.
And it has like really nice sounds and it's really funny, but that's what I've found really gets me to sleep.
Yeah, awesome. I love a good nighttime routine. Honestly, I really believe that it truly sets up like for one, a good night's sleep, but a good next day as well. Yes. So it's like the best healthy habit that you can honestly get yourself into, because we just don't value sleep enough as a society. Like it's this badge of honor to be so busy. And it's like, how can we expect to be busy and perform at our best if we're not sleeping and giving our body time to recover and restore and do all of the necessities that it needs to allow us to perform?
Exactly. So, and you really just don't function when you don't have enough sleep. And people haven't really figured that out. But
absolutely.
Yeah. And I also find like I get super grumpy and I also just crave food and crave sugar if I don't get a good night's sleep. And so then, you know, you eat sugar and then the whole, you know, cycle begins. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It's 100%. A vicious cycle, isn't it? I'm like the moodiest bitch ever. I'm horrendous, like the worst.
Oh, love that.
So on this note, we'd also love to know what you're currently reading and listening to.
So my two favorite books at the moment, and so I am a big Audible fan, so I never actually read anything. Mm-hmm. I listen. I don't have the time. But I'm loving this book called, I don't know if you've heard of it, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis.
No.
My God, guys, it's epic. She's just this like badass girl who's like, she's American and she's got kids and she's running this multi-million-dollar company. It's all about like sort of empowering women and just owning your shit. Yeah. And I just like, I find she goes through a lot of like life lessons And so I'm really loving that one. And it's also the second time I'm listening to it. I tend to need to listen to it for a second time to like really sink in.
Absorb.
And then I'm also listening to one called How to Be a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero.
Well, we need that in our life.
Oh my God, guys. Life changing. Literally like money. If you have any issues with money mindset, life changing.
Really? Right. Yeah. So it's breaking down those barriers that you place on how much you can earn?
Or the limiting beliefs that you put on money and just the way you think about money. So I listened to it maybe a year and a half ago and no joke, my whole business changed because I just think in society we sort of have this view that if you make money, you're greedy.
Yes.
And like money is bad and money is evil. And even though we like money and it gives us so many opportunities and all that sort of thing, it's almost like people feel, you know, people don't like talking about money.
Totally.
It's
almost like a dirty word.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we sometimes feel like when we reach a certain level, like that's all we're capable of. Like, oh no, I'm not worth more than that. And we put this like barrier on what we're able to achieve.
Exactly.
And I think that's almost like, you know, a lot of people in corporate jobs or, you know, you would know even like when you're in law that you kind of, you start and you're given a certain salary and then you've got to work really hard to get the next step. And it puts those limiting beliefs on how far you can actually go. And I think as a female as well, when you put in marriage and children and all that sort of stuff, those limiting beliefs become even bigger because it's like, oh, when am I going to find the time to get back to this job and earn the money that I want? Whether if we just have this open mind of like, there's enough of it in the world. Exactly. Like there's not a unlimited pot of money that everyone has to take from. Yeah. It's unlimited.
And also like a big sort of mind shift that I had to make growing up, my parents were like really hardworking and they did extremely well. Like they retired when they were 50 and they did extremely well, but they worked very hard. So I had this belief that like, if you wanted to make money, you have to work extremely hard, like really slave away for it. And so when I changed that money mindset and like in the book, she talks about saying like mantras, like money comes to me effortlessly and stuff like that. And really just changing the way you look at money, like it's life changing.
So, oh my goodness, 100%.
Yeah, get onto that. Read that. And she's really funny too. It's entertaining.
I've had a breakthrough with the affirmations lately because I was doing them, but I wasn't believing them. And I only just realized that I wasn't actually believing them recently when I had a coaching session.
How did you know you weren't believing them?
Because I went through it with my coach and he was like, I don't feel that you truly believe that. So it kind of went from, you know, I am attracting money in abundance to I am willing to attract money in abundance. Yeah. So I started with I am willing and then I moved towards I am, because you can't say it. You're not going to start believing it if you say it 50 times a day.
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot more to just like saying it in the mirror, I think.
100%. And I think also when I used to I had to really put mantras in place for body confidence and stuff like that. And so I'm not going to lie, like at the start, like you sort of, you don't believe it, but you can't just say words and something's going to happen. You need to do the inner work and really work through things. And there has to be some emotion and attachment to the mantra rather than just saying things.
Totally. And the repetition will work.
Yeah.
But you do have to repeat it a lot of times. And you do have to find other ways to believe it.
So we'd love to take it all the way back and get a little sneak peek into Georgie growing up. What were you like as a kid? Where did you live? What was your family environment like?
So I grew up with my three older brothers and mum and dad. And like I said, mum and dad were really hardworking. Dad owned a plumbing business and mum raised the kids, worked in the plumbing business. They both came from absolutely nothing and did really well, provided for us and all that stuff. Mum was really healthy. She was like a bit of a hippie and she was like doing the whole all natural cleaning products. And before it was a thing, mum was doing like the unrefined sugars and all that sort of stuff. So growing up, I remember hating it because I just wanted a roll up. And mum
I can relate so much.
Yeah.
So and crazy.
You know, you should have a piece of fruit and you're like, oh God.
Really? Fruit?
I know. In saying that, looking back, like how amazing that my grew up on that. And we really grew up a very no processed carbs, no processed sugars, just because that's what my parents liked. And, you know, eating veg and meat, that was our sort of staple diet. So we grew up very, I don't know, like just very normal, wholesome. We grew up about an hour away from the city, so more out of the city and that sort of side of things. I just went to a public school and then I went to a private school and then I went back to a public school because I didn't like private school.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about this and something that I realized is growing up, I was really interested. I did a lot of acting and drama and that sort of thing. But something I remember growing up, and I think it's just because, you know, my parents in their jobs. So I remember them saying stuff like, you know, oh, like an art degree, like yeah. Who would do that? That's useless. Mm. And, you know, little things like that, that I picked up as quite a young child. Mm. And so from as long as I can sort of remember, I really had this view that, you know, you don't go off and do your passions. You go yeah. off and you pick the sturdy job, the jobs that's going to provide and that sort of thing. And so it's funny because I was thinking about my childhood and I was actually quite like a serious person quite young.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really, wow. yeah, like really okay. weird, which in saying that, like I'm quite young and I feel like I'm very driven. So I've got a lot of positive things from that. But in saying that, my childhood was, I was just, you know, always wanting to succeed, always wanting yes. to do the next
high
thing.
High achiever, yeah.
Yeah, do that you think sort of thing.
That came from having working parents, like seeing your parents work so hard. Do you think that that's where it maybe...
100%. Yeah. And I also was very much like I was that person, really wanted to make my parents proud.
Yes.
Right. So I wanted to, you know, get the high marks and, mm-hmm. you know, show that sort of thing. And I think I was definitely also put on a bit of a pedestal, being the only girl, being the younger girl.
Yes.
Like I was, you know, the only one who went to uni out of mm-hmm. my brothers and all that sort of stuff. And so I definitely felt a bit of pressure
yes.
to be a certain way and mm-hmm. to do certain things.
Well, I can totally relate to your story. When you're saying all that, I was like, oh my goodness, I feel so similar. Yeah, literally. So you finished high school and you went to university to do a law degree.
Yeah.
What led you to law?
I'm not going to lie. I watched Legally Blonde. I'm not even going to lie, no. So I watched that, loved it. And then also my...
God bless you, that is
the best. I love how honest you are.
Let's be honest. But also my oldest brother, his girlfriend was studying law at the time. And I just remember thinking about it and just thinking, oh yeah, you know, that's a very high standard job. It's going to provide. I knew you could earn a certain sort of wage doing yeah. that and that sort of thing. So I just decided I was going to do law and then worked really hard in 11 and 12, got my marks up and got into law, did that for 4 years, also worked a lot during my degree in a couple of firms and that sort of thing. I had to move out of home when I was like 19 with my partner, who's now yeah. my husband. So yeah, I was always working during uni and that sort of thing. I got first of all, a law position, a law clerk, that's what you can call, in a really like good firm in the city.
Yeah.
And so I worked there during my degree and then after my degree full time. And that was really good. I was really lucky with the firm. Like they even paid for my PLT and like all this different stuff. So they were amazing. And the experience that I got there is just like, lots of people ask, so now I'm not doing law. Lots of people ask if I ever regret it. And I'm like, no way. Yes. Like the amount of life experience mm-hmm. that you yeah. get from working in a place like that is just definitely. Amazing. But while I was doing this, I was also had my socials on the side. So, yes. and they weren't that small. They were actually quite large, but I always had very much said, no, I'm doing law. Mm-hmm. I'm going to quit that, you know, as soon as things getting serious, because I was making money through that on the side. So I kind yeah. of kept it. But then, I don't know, it was like I was working full-time in the law firm and I just find myself in saying that like my days were hectic because I'd do my content in mm-hmm. lunchtimes after work wow. on the weekend. It was crazy. But I always just found myself like thinking about, oh, you know, what YouTube video can I make? What can I talk yes. about this? And always like I would always be like searching health studies like oh. when I was supposed to be working. And like, you know, I just realized how much of a passion it was.
Yes.
And I think I pushed it down for a long time. But then mm-hmm. it just got to the point where I thought, hey, look, you finish your law degree, you can practice law, you can always go back to this, but if you don't do this other thing
yeah.
and just see where it takes you, I think you're going to regret it. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where the fear of quitting was less than, you know, what I felt about, oh no, I'm going to regret this and this isn't going to be good sort of thing. So took the leap.
Good on you. Wow. Go girl. So what sparked your health journey originally?
I was like a very normal size, have very healthy growing up. And then I turned 18 and I started drinking a lot and eating a lot just because you think you can because you have for so long. And also, like I said, I grew up in a very wholesome family. So I was actually eating quite big portion sizes like my brothers. Mm. But because we were eating that sort of food, like I think it was all good.
Mm.
But then I'd be eating the same sizes, but I'd be eating McDonald's and I'd be, you know. And so it all just caught up to me. And I remember waking up one day, 10 kilos heavier, and just feeling really not myself, really uncomfortable. Like I remember feeling really self-conscious in front of Tim, I had never felt that way.
Mm.
And so just different stuff like that. So that sparked my health journey, which looking back, I went straight into a crazy diet cycle where I then dieted for like 4 years straight.
Oh, wow.
And like off and on, finding this new diet, I went, you know, did a lot of binge eating and like, just not really doing it the right way, but doing it how a lot of people do it, which is just really sad. So it's kind of how it all started. And then when things got better, it's when things actually got really worse. Mm-hmm. So I got these really bad health issues, including I got adult acne, which I had never had acne growing up. I had really bad exhaustion. I had really bad moods. I was eating less than 1,000 calories and I was putting on weight. And like, so hormones were messed up from so much restriction, so much under eating. I was also like training twice a day, plus doing my law degree, plus doing all my socials. Like it was just too much on my body. And I basically got to burnout and I realized that something needed to change. And that's kind of when this whole big thing happened of moving towards intuitive eating and loving my body and just being okay, like nourishing my body and just giving it love and respect rather than hating it and punishing it, which I had for years.
We spoke a little bit about intuitive eating before we turned the mics on. Can you explain to the hustlers what that means to you?
So intuitive eating, I didn't realize I was kind of doing it for a long time and then I sort of figured it out. But basically intuitive eating is there's no rules and restrictions. So there's no, oh, I can't eat after 5 p.m. I can't have carbs. There's none of that. It's really listening to your body's biofeedback. Mm. It signals, are you tired?
Mm.
Do you actually feel hungry? Like, do you feel sick after you eat that? Like this simple, really kind of like just going back to the basics. It's very simple. And instead of listening to outside sources like a fitness app that tells you how many calories you should eat, even like outside sources of fitness people on Instagram saying, do the keto, do all this sort of stuff. It's ignoring all that, really going within because we are all made so different. It would be stupid to think there's one way for everyone. So it's basically finding the healthiest way for your body to feel its best, like your own way, by listening to it, by ignoring the rules, ignoring the outside stuff. It's a lot of compassion too. Like I'm an intuitive eater in saying that it's not like every meal is, you know, what my body wants. It's just about having compassion, having love and respect for yourself and just getting to a point where like previously I swear like all I used to think about was my next meal or, you know, my cheat meal on the weekend and stuff like that. I was so consumed, whereas now it's so effortless for me to just live my lifestyle. I don't, you know, like it's not consuming.
So you're like, what does my body feel like in this moment?
And you just go with it. And then you learn from, oh, if you didn't feel that great after that.
Yeah.
And all that sort of thing. And you kind of just learn from your body. And it's constantly changing, you know, just because you ate a certain way and you got results and you felt really good doesn't mean that's always going to work. So that's why intuitive eating, I love it because it's not just this is the set rules and you follow this forever, the rest of your life. It's sustainable because you're constantly learning.
Exactly. A really great way I've learned is to diarize what I'm eating and keep it separate at first. So, you know, if you're going to have oats and strawberries, do them separately so you know which one of them is making you tired, which I think people don't realize. They kind of go, well, oh, I don't know what I'm feeling, but it's because you had like 10 things in that salad. Yeah, like
no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So really breaking it down and just having one thing at a time. And then once you know that, you know, you're okay with eggs and spinach, then you can have eggs and spinach on toast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a big stage where I think it was my body was just in burnout, but I became intolerant to so many foods, like so many foods I was eating every single day, like eggs and bananas. And I was just having these really bad like reactions and just feeling like crap. And it took that literally just like cutting things out. Getting back to the basics and then slowly introducing them kind of when I was like healthier sort of thing.
So you mentioned your acne earlier. Was the intuitive eating a big part of healing that, or was there something else you did?
Yeah, kind of. Honestly, all of my health issues were fixed when I started eating more food and training less.
Wow.
It was just, I was going through also at this stage too, like I was planning a wedding, like there was a lot happening. Stress. And I think it was just stress in my body and I was eating nothing. Like I wasn't fueling my body. So I had all these health issues and it's so funny because I like went to doctors, I went to naturopaths, like something must be wrong. But honestly, as soon as I ate enough to fuel my body, to feel good, I stopped overtraining. All my health issues were fixed. Which is crazy.
Sometimes like the simplest thing as well, and we don't take enough time to look inwards and at our lifestyle and see the pressure that we're actually placing on ourselves. I remember, I went through a phase of having like really, really bad tingling sensations like all over my body, and like especially my head and my hands would go like numb when I was typing. And I obviously straight away was like, oh my God. Like
brain tumor.
Totally. You go to the worst thing and start Googling and that's even worse. But it was literally just that I was drinking coffee, which my body does not, obviously the chemicals in coffee does not react to my body well at all. Mm-hmm. And I was completely ignoring the signs of it instead of thinking, wow, I'm having a coffee at 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm completely buzzing. Am I, you know, like I could, I wasn't allowing myself the space to actually feel what that coffee was doing to me.
Yeah.
And all it took was me to stop doing that. Then my nervous system calmed down. Yeah. The tingling stopped. It was like just so
And a lot of the time though, the things that you need to stop, you don't want to. I had so many people telling me it was that simple and I just thought, No, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like, I'm not quitting coffee and thanks for your tips, but no.
Yeah, exactly. So many times it's just like you actually don't want to do it because, and 100% looking back, I was addicted to exercise.
Yes.
I was addicted to dieting, like, and I didn't want to think that was the issue.
But I think you get to that space as well. And I know, you know, when mine was as simple as coffee, but I was like, but hang on, I'm like riding my bike to work every day. I'm like doing Pilates. I'm eating so healthy. Like, why am I feeling so horrendous and so tired all the time? And it's like, you know, it's almost then the stress hormones go through the roof as well because you're like feel like you're doing everything right and you're actually not doing your body any favors whatsoever. So it's like a real balance.
100%. And it's really hard though because on social media you have all these people who are doing it all.
Oh my gosh.
They're working out, there's no days off. And so
F45 trend, like everyone's like trying to keep up. I'm like, that doesn't be able to do a 60-minute workout every day, like high intensity.
Exactly. And that's the thing though, is we never stop to think that, you know, just because everyone's doing it or what's on society, we never stop to think that, hey, maybe I need to listen to my body, see what's actually happening. And we are so different. Mm-hmm. So I know it is really hard, especially with social media, with that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'd love to go back to when you were working full time, balancing a booming social media account with your Instagram and your YouTube channel. We get a lot of questions on this podcast of people who do work 9 to 5 and they are trying to balance their health and well-being goals with full time work. How are you balancing a full time job with a side hustle and staying true to your health and well-being goals?
To be honest, like looking back, I wasn't really.
Okay.
Like I had a lot of health issues and it was because of the high pace, the high stress lifestyle I was leading. In saying that, I chose to put that all on my plate.
Mm.
And I definitely knew when I did that it wasn't a long-term thing. So if I stayed in my job, I think I would have changed things up.
Yep.
In saying that, for me, it was really about creating habits and routine. So for example, what my day would look like is I would get up at 4:30 a.m. I'd go to gym at 5. I'd get home at 6. I started work at 7:30. So I'd have to be on the bus at like 6:50. Started work at 7:30. In my lunchtime, I would be working on my side hustle. Yeah. I wouldn't get home till like 6:30, maybe 7 if we had to work late. And I would cook Tim dinner, spend a tiny bit of time with him, and then I would do my side hustle. And then I'd go to sleep. So it was so hectic. But for me, honestly, the thing that got me through was routine. So people used to say, like, how can you get up so early? And for me, I'm like, I just made it habit and routine that I basically didn't know any difference. And I just like, yep, no, it's happening. It's a non-negotiable. Yes. So I think it's about implementing some non-negotiables and making them habits and routine. And they just happen. They don't feel like, oh no, I have to make this choice. It's almost like taking the choice out and just getting it done.
We'll be right back after this healthy break because I want to share with you one of my all-time favorite health products that has truly helped keep my hustle healthy. Ladies, it is time to boost your roots and let your hair do the talking. Just like you, I have my desired hair goals too, but I was really struggling to reach them due to everyday styling, breakages, good old split ends. So I jumped on board Bondi Boost and I'm so excited that they have been kind enough to sponsor today's episode because they have truly made the most incredible difference to my hair. Not only am I conquering my hair goals, I have happier, healthier and so much longer hair. And just like all my favorite natural products, they are free from all the nasties, including parabens and sulfates, and replace them with good-for-you ingredients that help to protect and nourish the hair. And I'm very proud to let you know that they are an Aussie-made, Aussie-owned hair care company who are helping thousands of women just like me achieve their hair goals. So if you want your hair to do the talking, then please make sure you make the most of their very generous offer for all my fellow hustlers. Simply click the link in the show notes after this episode and use the code HAIRGOALS at the checkout. For further details on this incredible product that I guarantee will help fuel your health goals, please click the link in the show notes after the episode. Now back to our healthy conversation with our inspiring hustler.
Do you believe that slow steps are better than all at once? Because I get a lot of people being like, oh, I've fallen off the bandwagon, or, you know, like I've tried doing this and now I've had a big weekend out or whatever. And it's like almost implementing those healthy habits one at a time. And then it's like, it just gets easier and easier than being like, okay, this week I'm going to start being healthy and going like hell for weather.
I even remember I just used to get the question so much about waking up earlier. And something I used to say is, don't wake up one day like 2 hours earlier, like start putting it back like 10 minutes, like definitely slow steps. And something I'm a big advocate for is instead of subtracting things, add things. So instead of saying, oh no, I can't eat carbs or I can't do this and I can't do that, add things in. So like, you know, I will drink 2 liters of water today. I will do this. And then, you know, if you slip up or something like that, I just find even mentally, instead of like subtracting things, adding things in, it just felt better. Yeah. And it's less harsh.
Yeah, totally. Shifting that I can't to I should or exactly. I can. So powerful.
And yeah, instead of saying, oh, I'm not going to have any refined sugar all week, just adding in, I'm going to make sure I'm eating my veggies.
Totally.
Yeah. And that sort of thing. Like it's little things like that, but do make a really big difference.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely. If you had one tip for anyone who was wanting to prioritize their health and well-being while balancing full-time work, what would it be?
I think you need to realize that there's going to be seasons. So there's going to be times where work takes up most of your time and energy, and realizing that that's okay, and being compassionate and realizing, hey, you know, maybe I have to skip a couple of gym sessions this week and going with that. And then when work isn't as busy and you can focus more, like, I don't know, I don't really believe in this hashtag balance thing. I think I just like me personally, it's, there's just different times when things are taking a priority.
Yeah, absolutely.
And being okay with that also, like I think I had to sort of deal with the fact that you can't do it all and realizing that you do have priorities. So, you know, and that's another thing is you need to think if your health isn't a priority, maybe you need to make it a priority of thing, like making you sure, like making the time, adding the things in, that sort of side of things. But also realizing that we do have seasons where we're working more, when we're working less, where our relationships are more important and all that sort of stuff. And just being okay with that and sort of like riding the wave.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
being very like compassionate with yourself and okay with that. Like I definitely listen to myself because I have been in periods of burnout and you take so long to recover. You're better off filling your cup up where like
as you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a big thing of just because your lifestyle looks different to the, you know, normal person. I'm doing that in air quotes for people who can't see us. And just because you're different to the normal person, like that's okay. Find what works for you. I personally, like you said, like I love working on the weekends. Like it feels good as long as it feels good to you and it's filling up your cup and you're making time for yourself and your relationship.
And your partner.
When you can.
It's so true though. That's like I am really productive at night, which is frustrating because I like having my mornings, but I'm just not a morning person. And I still get up at 6:30 most days. My husband will laugh if he listens to this. He'll be like, you're such a liar. He's gone by that time. Now I'm like, I promise. I've crawled out of bed. No, but honestly, I do get up early. But it's not something that comes natural to me though either. So I always find like being kind to myself of like, okay, I am going to be a bit slower in the morning, but I'll make sure that I'm at least exercising and I'm having a really nourishing breakfast. So it's like I'm still doing something for myself that's setting me up for a really good day.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to be at my absolute peak and the most productive in the morning. So it's like easing into it.
But how amazing that you've realized that and you realize in the morning that's, you know, your self-love time. That's when you give yourself time. And see, I'm the opposite. I do that in the afternoon. But it's good because you realize that and you've worked that into your routine and schedule. So that's amazing.
I think that that's probably one thing that frustrated me about being in a 9-to-5 job that I was like, I'm wasting all these hours at work when I'm actually not that productive. So I think like, you know, I know it's hard for people if you are in that 9-to-5 job, but it's really finding the tasks in the day or the things like, you know, go for a walk first thing in the morning and get your coffee and then maybe stay an hour later at work if you can, or like, you know, finding those peaks and troughs, like do admin. I used to go in and just do emails in the morning because I was like, oh, well, it's a bit mind numbing. And I don't need much brain power to get through that. But then I'm going to do my really creative tasks in the afternoon.
I feel like employees are becoming, you know, a lot more open to different ways of working, whether it be one day a week at home or, hey, I'm so much more productive in the afternoon. Can I start a little bit later? I mean, your productivity makes their money.
Exactly.
So, you know, have the conversation with your boss.
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you, Mads. I'm so glad you brought that up because I, for so many years, tried to get my work done in the morning and I was just not as productive, but I was trying to keep up with society time scheduling.
Yes.
And it was just stupid.
What you think you should do.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to break those barriers down? Like I know when I went from full-time work to working on my own, I used to get really guilty like come 5 to 9 because I'm like, oh my God, I'm still on my morning walk. I haven't had breakfast. I'm not showered. I should be at my computer. And it's really hard to break that down and be like, no, it's okay, you know, to not be on that schedule anymore.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
Oh, 100%. I remember it took me like 3 months because I'm like you heard what my day looked like. It was so scheduled. Yes. It was so routine because I had to be. And then like all of a sudden I had like no time limits and it took me 3 months to find a routine that was like, because I thought to myself, I really like you guys. I want to do something that it works for me where I'm productive, which suits my lifestyle, which I like.
Yes.
So it took a long time to sort of find that because you think, oh no, but I should be doing this. Oh no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And all these things. And 100%. Like, and that's another thing is I feel like especially this year, I've really sort of like felt into this position of owning your own business and like doing all those things. And I think, like you said, is pushing away the guilt and just thinking, no, I'm going to do what works for me and that's okay.
So you do have your own ebook as well. So Find Your Healthy, a beginner's guide to intuitive eating and healthy living recipes. You've obviously spoken a bit about this, but can you talk us through the process of creating the ebook and what made you actually put this all together and out to your audience?
Yeah, sure. So when I was writing this ebook, I was literally thinking of myself like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, because I just thought, and that's another thing is back then, no one was talking about anything like this on social media. And also at like previously, I lost my monthly and like all that sort of stuff too. And so I was looking up to these girls with six packs, which I also had, but mine came with all these health issues. And I thought, what's wrong with me? These girls look fine. These girls look healthy. Why am I having all these issues? So no one was talking about it. Yeah. And now it's completely different. Like now people are really open, which I love. But basically when I was writing this ebook, it was like I was thinking of myself. And I just thought, honestly, if I just had some of this information, how different. And I just wouldn't have struggled. Like it, I just remember my health journey just being such a struggle. Yeah. And so it's just a lot of information that is simple, but it's, you know, putting it in this like neat little book for people. So it's 5 steps to intuitive eating. So I really like break it down and I go through exactly what I did to start intuitive eating. Cause it seems simple, but when you actually, it's a little bit complicated than just listening to your body sort of thing. And also if you are someone who's kind of like a chronic dieter, you have ignored your signals for such a long time that it will be quite difficult at the start. Okay. So I talk a lot about that. I go into that. I also talk a lot about self-love and really creating that relationship with yourself, with food, because that's just something I went straight into my health journey and just created such a bad relationship with myself, with my body, with food. So really kind of digging into like the mental side and the inner work, which I think everyone should do first before they try and change anything physical. So that was a big part of it. And then I also, chuck some healthy living recipes in there because I'm a biggest foodie and they're like kind of all your favorite foods like nachos and all that sort of thing. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with the real thing, but at times when you want to eat it every single day, it's better to have a little bit of a healthy alternative.
Yes.
There you go, guys. That ebook sounds like a must have. And just to add more to your busy schedule, you've recently launched your own podcast show, Rise and Conquer, where you have been ranking in the global health charts, which is just so amazing.
Insane. Hey, I just wasn't expecting it. I've listened to podcasts for so long. And honestly, it's what made me get the sort of passion to quit my job and pursue my side hustle and all that sort of stuff, like honestly. And so I've been obsessed, and I always thought, like I was telling the girls previously before this conversation, I always thought I was too young, no one would want to listen to me and all that sort of thing. But honestly, it got to the point where I was like, I'm so over this surface level like bullshit. I just, especially in social media, it's getting better, but I just wanted to say more. And I felt like a lot of people wanted that. And it's really hard to do that in a caption, you know, on your story. Even YouTube is only, you can only really go 10 minutes. And I also found I had a lot of comments on my YouTube when I used to do this like massive rant and chat. People would be like, this is so boring. Because it was just me sitting there. Yeah. And so I thought, I think podcasting is my platform. Yes. And so I just did it. And it honestly, the best thing, like, I just can't believe how fulfilling I feel. And it's really lovely because all these things, like I do quite a few solo episodes where I talk about different things. Like one that people loved was like just about talking. I talked about, you know, saying no. And I used to be a really big people pleaser. And when I said no, it used to come with such guilt.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of work on that and just did a whole episode on that. And I literally just got so many DMs of girls just being like, oh my God, I just needed this. So it's nothing extravagant or crazy, but it's just simple things I think we're all thinking about. And I feel like when you have someone saying it to you that you're kind of already thinking about, almost like a pep talk, it like really sinks in and you're like, okay, I'm into this.
And I find that you often listen to those things when you really need them. It's like, yes, when you read
they
a
pop
book.
Up. They
like,
pop
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And you're like, you're attracted to that. And then you listen to it or you read it and you're like, oh my goodness, I needed this so much in my life right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So it's, you're obviously attracting, you know, the people that really need that. But I think saying no is one of the most powerful tools that we can honestly learn to do.
100%.
And to really own. Because yeah. I know that my life definitely changed when I started feeling more powerful to say, you know, comfortable saying
yeah.
no to
it's
things.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
It is.
So empowering.
And it's yeah. absolutely uncomfortable at the start. And yeah. like you said, but like I was going through a phase where I was just like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I was cancelling half an hour before and like, that's
and you
not,
end up
no
letting more people
that.
Down when Absolutely. You do that.
And you look flaky and yeah. then you feel like I, you know, was the exact same. I just say yes to every project. And I think that came from last year when I did quit my full-time job and did my passion job. And I kind of felt the need to say yes to everything, to every opportunity. But it led to so much burnout and yeah. me overextending myself and also doing stuff that I just didn't really want to do.
So that saying yes was coming from a place of fear.
Exactly.
Not a place of love.
Exactly. And when I switched that around and I really, like for now, for example, I really, before I say yes to anything, I sit with it. And I really listen to my intuition and I'm like, hey, does this feel good? Is this like a hell yes? Or is this like, oh, I don't know about it. I'm a bit uncomfortable.
Anxious.
Exactly. And it's that simple. And like recently I had a bit of a hard situation with a family member where I had to say no. And it was kind of worst case scenario where they just reacted really bad. But in saying that, it's empowering because you're honoring yourself. And when you're honoring yourself, if someone doesn't respect that,
it's not
they're
right
not worth
for
it.
You. Like, yeah. And you're freeing up that space when you say no for the things that are truly aligned with where you're going.
Exactly.
Instead of just like fluffing around and trying to keep your head above exactly. water, like I need to say yes because I need to be successful. It just doesn't lead to success. It does
no,
the total opposite.
100%. Well, that's even like when I started getting really strict with my yeses, like I even just found even through my business, like my audience being so much more engaged and like, you know, just like different aspects like that you don't really think about, but it all sort of like, yeah, aligned. Perfect word.
Love it. What does health mean to you, Georgie?
So I guess because of my health issues and my whole health journey and that sort of thing, for me, health is really finding what works for your body, your mind, and your lifestyle at the moment, and also realizing that that may change and that's okay. And also health to me is being loving and respecting towards yourself and your body, because that's something I didn't do for a very long time. And now that I do it, I just realized the difference. And so I've realized that I used to look at health at just purely like physical or performance, whereas now it's so much more and it's just so much deeper.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And what does the future hold for you?
So I do have a couple of exciting things happening a little bit under the wrap. So yeah. You'll just have to follow me, watch out on my socials. But at the moment, honestly, I'm putting all my time and effort into my podcast because I've realized when I put my time and effort into the things I love, like it always does well. And
where
it's
the magic is.
Exactly. So at the moment, the podcast is just what lights me up. So I'm like, that's where I'm going to be. And that's Amazing. Kind of what I've realized as a female business owner, like following your intuition and really going in that sort of femme power, I'll call it, really works for me. And so I'm going with it.
Love it.
Love that, Georgie. You're so inspiring. And we know you're a foodie. So for all the foodies listening, what does a day on your plate look like?
Okay, so it's different every day because I do intuitive eat and I am lucky I work from home. But at the moment, so I start the day, I tend to eat breakfast quite late. I don't know, like I used to be that person who ate it at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I think because I did that for so long, now that I don't have to, my body just like doesn't want it, yeah. if that makes sense. So I have a green smoothie and I'm really into like this yummy like donut protein powder at the moment. It's delicious. So I have
like
that.
The powdered milk.
Yeah. Put a spoonful of powdered milk with it. No, yeah.
I'm going to get your smoothie recipes and be like, where do I even get this?
Oh my God. So I have a green smoothie and then For lunch today, I just had some rice and kind of like a beef stir fry and some rice. And then afternoon, I'll usually have like a sweet snack. At the moment, I have this like healthy fudge, which is delicious. So I have that. It's like gluten-free and dairy-free and refined sugar-free and all that crap. and then for dinner, me and Tim, we always just have, you know, sort of like meat and veg or something like that. Tonight, we're going to have lamb, sweet potato chips and veggies.
Yum.
And then I'm not going to lie, I do probably have like a piece of chocolate every single night. Not a piece, maybe a couple.
What's your go-to chocolate?
I'm like really loyal to Loving Earth salted caramel. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you like a salted
you
caramel.
Can't buy that because you just eat the whole block.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Do you know what? They're like, I'm obsessed with their chocolate. I have it in my handbag.
It's so beautiful.
But I don't like that one.
I love that one. Oh my gosh.
I know. I don't know why I don't like it and I feel so weird.
You're a bit strange. Sorry, man.
It's so creamy. It's like buttery.
It's so bad.
You like powdered milk. So
true. True. I am the weird one, so I don't know.
It's like eating a whole block of coconut oil though. Like it's not okay to have in my house. Because I eat it like it's a muesli bar.
It's so easy to eat.
Okay, so do you know what I've been doing lately?
That's my favorite.
Because my health food store ran out of cacao nibs and I've put them in my smoothie every morning. This makes my smoothie really expensive, but I've been putting my Loving Earth chocolate.
Oh my God.
And it's so delicious.
Oh my, that would be so expensive.
I'm like,
$8 a block down
literally,
the drain.
Only like 3 Qs, but still, like,
but still,
I'm like, it's expensive chocolate. But
so don't waste that moment by blending it up.
But I need my smoothie to be
back
delicious.
Back it up. What's in your smoothie?
Oh, so I do a frozen banana.
Yum.
And then coconut, desiccated coconut, chia seeds, cacao nibs, cinnamon. I always feel like I say that wrong. I probably do.
Cinnamon.
Seriously. Almond milk and a tiny bit of maple syrup. But ooh, I mix it up.
That's
like
a lot of ingredients.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't even comprehend it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was like, but that's just at the moment.
If you have to text that to me or something.
You don't have powdered milk in it.
I go through total phases with smoothies.
Yeah.
This is what 100%. I'm on at the moment. And I'm but it's a fine line, the maple syrup. Like I need to get it bang on right. And the sweetness of the bananas also, because sometimes I put two in and it's like, oh, it's just when it's good, I love it. And when it's not, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't quite nail that one this morning.
Seriously, first world problems.
I know, smoothies, you really got to perfect it.
Yeah.
And that's like once I find something I love, like I'm drinking that every single day because it is a bit hard sometimes.
Yeah. I'm the worst. I like flog food. My husband's always like, okay, calm down. Like we've had that 4 times this year. And then we won't have it for like 6 months.
I can't do that. I have to change it up.
And me and Tim are the exact same. Like for example, at the moment we're really into Indian. And we've literally like maybe the last like 3 months we've had it like every Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We just like get this delivery Indian and we're so obsessed and we're the exact same. Like we will flog a food and then all of a sudden I'm like on to the next.
You nauseous.
Yeah. So bad. We're creatures of habit. I am.
We're
really bad.
Exactly the same. Georgie, thank you so much for welcoming us into your home.
No, thank you so much. It was so lovely meeting you girls. I'm so glad we did it in person.
Oh,
I know. It was the absolute best.
And she's so pretty. So let's just try and paint a picture for you. Like the best smile I've ever seen. Just
oh my
like
God, I'm blushing, guys.
Such a, like you guys an egoless over. Human.
I know. You guys can come over anytime.
Oh, thanks, honestly, my favorite thing about the podcast is that you get to meet people and
in their home.
In their homes.
I know.
And you just can like dogs. We just connected
it's
so
just
quickly.
Chill,
and I
yeah.
feel like, you know, it's such a nice friendship now.
Did
that we're
we just
have.
Become best friends?
Oh, no, I think so. I feel like we're the same person now. I'm like, everything you were saying, I was like, holy crap, that sounds like
literally
me.
The same face.
I'll book my flight back next week.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Next go
home. Oh, no, thank you so much. And we're so excited to keep watching your journey and all your success.
No, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.